brought more heart trouble. The x-rays reveal life is filled with turbulence. Christ sensed it as circumstances crowded him toward the cross. He knew prejudice, hated without a cause. He said, "The hour is come." There is no plea for sympathy. He does not ask for escape, and no one will ever measure the pressure of that final week. Amid it all, what would Christ say to his organization? What light would he establish under the shadows? His thoughts were for his men. He would pay the price and lead them to glory. The 14th chapter of John is called the chapter of comfort. And there are seven reasons for comfort. First, there is the comfort of faith. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Faith alone can sustain. It is more than a melody to sing, "I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave." Cross that bridge also. Believe in me. And fear is silenced. There are millions who acknowledge a supreme being, but that's not enough. The bridge also. Believe also in me. Carries you to Calvary, the open tomb, the ascension, the throne. You no longer grope with nature and bewildering skyline of planets. You have a close-up. You fasten to love that will not let you go, to victory. It's all there in flesh and blood, in undeniable record. Christ's claims to deity are sustained and confirmed forever. Good men have died. They have not risen. I believe in Christ's return, because he has already returned to this planet. He came back. We are really looking for his third coming. He who came back from the clouds will come back to the clouds. Dr. Scofield said it well. He said, if Jesus did not come before A.D. 70, he can never come, and the prophets are false witnesses. If he came and died and went into the grave and remained there, then God promised Israel and David something he cannot perform. But if he came forth out of the grave, the earthly glory is all possible yet. Your faith rests in Jesus, sir. He keeps his promises. Second, there is the comfort of hope. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus gave us a preview of our forwarding address. Jesus is the architect of the future. If he could not cross victoriously those couple of miles through Gethsemane, Golgotha, the garden, and back to Olivet, he simply indulged in fantasy, building castles in Spain. He plowed those few miles with glory. The furrow of triumph he left comforts me to reach out toward the 12 gates, 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Jesus of Nazareth is preparing it. Mankind prepared a stable for him with straw, a dirt floor, and the odor of brute kingdom. But, thank God, he is preparing for us mansions. Third, there is the comfort of his return. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. All the scoffers may despise me, and no change around may see. But he tells me he is coming, and that's quite enough for me. I'll tell you this, if Jesus does not return to our world, there'll be no world to come back to. Mankind is destruction bound. Isaiah said something which is in front and center today. The earth has been polluted by the dwellers on its face. Now you'll find those words in the 24th chapter, verse 5, Moffat. Problems of food and fuel multiply. Mankind searches for a candidate. Where is the man? The answer to that question is, I will come again. A world system will not bring him back. They are not counting on his return. That is why they despise Christians. But the morning cometh. Paul told the believer, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so I say to you, mister, Jesus is coming. Fourth, there is the comfort in knowing the way. Thomas asked, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? That question has been answered. I have needed directions many times, and I'll tell you this, the most difficult experience I have had in life is to find directions. Someone will say, turn on highway such and such a number, but doesn't tell me which way to turn, left or right. Someone will tell me, go 4 stop signs that way, but doesn't tell me whether to watch for traffic lights or street signs. You've been so often misdirected. The way to heaven cannot be misunderstood. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Religion can confuse you. It has me. There are baptisms and creeds and financial arrangements and denominations and spires and committees, persuasion, cemeteries, relatives who say, we are the way. One thing is certain, you can't afford a mistake. It's a daily comfort to enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus of Nazareth is God's ladder toward a lost soul, and God will assign the total help of heaven to see that you make it all the way. Jacob experienced it. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Those ministering spirits are God's escort for you. Help that self-righteous folk can never experience. And I'll tell you, I'm not too proud to accept it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Lean totally on Him. Commit everything to Him. I am the way. Every other route is the wrong road. Fifth, there is the comfort of the vision of God. When Thomas had asked his question, Philip had a question. He said, Lord, show us the Father. He asked what millions had asked previously, and more millions have asked since. What is God like? And Jesus answered the question in the most simple, comforting language. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I know that has been a comfort to me. Jesus said, God is just like I am. I can love and serve such a God. God loves children. Jesus did. God sympathizes with women in the kitchen. Jesus did. God knows we have tax problems. Jesus did. God appreciates our giving. Jesus did. God heals sick people. Jesus did. God knows when we're hungry. Jesus did. God respects marriage. Jesus did. God knows we need vacations. Jesus did. God helps us with our problems when we ask Him. Jesus did. God loves real husky, two-fisted working men. Jesus did. Hebrews, a book in the New Testament, puts it this way. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. It's the greatest of all services to mankind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Christ came in a personal, authorized manifestation of God, and Jesus made it plain that the will of the Son had been the will of the Father. One thing is certain, God loves you. Sixth, there is the comfort of prayer. Jesus has provided long-distance privileges for us, and placed all cost in placing such calls on credit. I may place a call direct. I may call, collect. I enjoy the best possible rates any hour of the day or night. Whatsoever He shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If He shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that is comfort this world system cannot provide. It provides fellowship. I have communion with Jesus while I wait for His return. And I think anyone is wrong who belittles the prayer life. I respect and admire those who speak often and at length with their Lord. None of us do it half enough, and there wouldn't be the nervousness or the mistakes if we did. Ye have not because ye ask not. Seventh, there is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. What a marvelous provision, greater than prayer, greater than mansions. Yes, the disciples did have the feeling of orphans. They were overwhelmed. They were recent Christians. They didn't feel capable of facing the antagonism and hatred of a world system. They had seen the attitude of this system toward Jesus, and they needed divine support. Jesus acknowledged that need. There would be one at the side. I can count on His presence. I must find my way through a world of deceit. Jesus has provided for me the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit is faithful to that mission. to always establish Jesus Christ before me, to never permit me to forget my Savior and Master. The one who is leaving always thinks of those who remain. Jesus did. He felt the loneliness of his men. They were depending upon him. And he imparted this sevenfold comfort. And then he turned to them and he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." There's no need for troubled hearts. Victory is assured. There is no dark void. Our representative is completing all arrangements for our transfer. He has assigned his personal escort to be our guide in the meantime. The lines of communication are open. I will exercise faith. And I believe his promise. If I go, I will come again. And the way things are now, it won't be long. The moment for the long, long offer is here. Multiple thousands wait for it. There's so much help offered. And we welcome those kneeling with us for the first time. I'm using these next 10 seconds to find a place with you.
There's room at the cross for you,
Station KJRG brings the long, long altar into the home of Mrs. Ida King, there at Hutchison, Kansas. She knelt recently needing the Lord to help her with her finances. The only way, in the natural, seemed to be involved in an expensive court case. But within 30 days, God had solved the problem for her, and Mrs. King is convinced, as I am convinced, that the answers to all daily problems are in God's book, the Bible. Now this is the time to pray with so many others who are in the midst of complicated income problems. Believe with me, I confess thee publicly, Jesus of Nazareth, to be the only begotten Son of God. I believe such confession is unto salvation with never-ending benefits. Thou dost redeem our pocketbooks and purses and handbags as surely as thy Calvary victory gives birth to a new person. We thank thee for the full gospel. We praise thee for income miracles. We praise thee for jobs and back pay and favorable settlements and better situations and more money and greater joy in learning to use it for thy glory. So this week, again and again, be pleased to reveal thyself strong on behalf of us who trust thee. And let us never be ashamed or beg bread. Amen. Mrs. Geneva Gross kneels with us at Station WVOC. Battle Creek, Michigan, brings the long, long altar to their home in East Leroy. And she says, 8 years ago I was lying in a hospital bed with osteomyelitis, inflammation of the bone marrow. I asked my nurse to mail a prayer request for me after your message on healing. And you replied at once. Your reply, Brother Ward, carried faith, and it was true. The Lord healed me. My bones have been strong ever since, and I'll always be so grateful. And so, the Holy Spirit directs me to believe that Jesus will use this testimony, the one that has withstood the test of time, years, a proven healing, that Jesus is pleased to quicken faith right now for another in this audience suffering from that same disease. The fever will leave your bones. You will rise from the bed. Your bones will be strong. It is the will of God. Give Jesus the glory and your servant. I'm his evangelist. Yes, this has been the meeting. We are gathered by the Spirit, and we are led by the Spirit. We do not preach denomination. We exalt the living one. And the Holy Spirit will gather us as surely to the meeting in the air, which is scheduled, as he has gathered us now. So be confident that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.